I'm Julie, I'm an addict.
Hi, Julie.
You'll have to excuse my throat. So I'm just going to get on as best as I can. So why am I here? I'm here because I couldn't stop using. I just couldn't. And I had nowhere else to go. And I found my way into this fellowship through fear. Fear of nowhere else to go. Fear of, if I don't do something, I'm going to use. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what my using was like. So I first used when I was 11. I come from a big Irish Catholic family. Very prideful, quite arrogant. My dad's an alcoholic. And what's done behind the door stays behind the door. So you don't talk about feelings. You don't tell people what went on behind the door. Behind the front door of your home. As early as I can remember, I was always looking for a way out. I was brought up on fear. Terrified of the key going in the door, my dad coming in. Right up until I was 18, I had to ask my dad if I could get my hair cut. So he was very domineering, and my mum very religious. But they didn't have a good childhood, so they were doing the best that they could. I now see that today. But as early as I could, I got out of there. So as I said, I first used when I was 14 socially in school. And I found a bit of comfort, a bit of ease in myself. That fear wasn't there when I used. Left school really, really young. Left school at 14 and went to work in a chemist. Go figure. Great place to work when you're that young because you can get your hands on whatever you want. My using just kind of moved up. But at that point, it was still very social. It was still for fun. It weren't a problem. But it was what I did with friends. I moved on to different jobs. I was never in one place for too long because you might find out about me. So I kind of moved it, nevertheless to say that, I'm stealing from every job. So before I got caught, I'd pull out. And as I went through the years, my using kind of went a bit harder, a bit more extreme, through the party scene and everything. It was great. But my body never knew whether it was coming. It was up or down with what I used. So I was extremely high and then extremely low. But that was comfort to me. That was, my norm was to not feel Julie. Who was Julie? I didn't know. I knew to just shut my mouth. My using kind of got worse. Couldn't go to work. Left the jobs that I was at. Went from boyfriend to boyfriend, who could then give me the drugs. Each boyfriend got locked up. Then I would have to go out and provide the drugs. That was when I found out I was dependent on something. It was when there was no one there to give me the drugs I needed. And that was when I had to go out and thief. Because, I mean, let's have it right, it wasn't glamorous. Very far from glamorous. You know, gyro junkie, robbing my family, anyone was really at risk from me. You know, I found out, you know, in my using, I found out I was pregnant. I knew I was pregnant. My body told me I was pregnant, but I didn't want to know that and didn't want to hear that. So I just carried on using. I lost that baby. You know, so it gets to, you know, my sister visiting me in the hospital, because when any shit happens, we close ranks. That's what my family is like. We close ranks. You cannot get through. If one falls, we all fall. So with me falling, they're picking me up, but they're never letting me face my consequences. You know, my mum, I'd only have to say to my mum, you know, I've got no gas and electric. She'd then give me the money for that. You know, or if I, she didn't give it to me, I'd take it. You know, anyway, my using in the end got me to a place of real low, real isolation. Had another baby. You know, this baby I gave birth to, my daughter, and all through that pregnancy I used. Well, you know, I thought I wasn't using, but I was, really. You know, I was being prescribed a substitute, but only having to use up on top now and then. She was born, and the minute she was born, oh, not the minute, that's a lie. You know, an hour after she was born, I was in the toilet doing crack and heroin. I could not meet that child's needs. I could not give her what she needed. I couldn't give myself what I needed. I couldn't nurture myself, so I couldn't nurture her. All I knew to do was to continue using drugs. I didn't mean that I didn't love her, but I needed that more. Yeah, you know, and I tried to be a really good parent. You know, when you're just in so much denial about your using, and you are a great mother, you take your child to school, you know, you make sure she's eating. This kid was brought up on microwave chips and tomato ketchup. You know, she would be at the school gate waiting for me to pick her up most days. You get there and you just see the terror in her eyes. But again, didn't see it. It's now I can look at that and see that. That face is in my mind. So kind of what brought me into the rooms was, and like the previous speaker, thank you, Rob, for that. It was really lovely you shared. And so much identification. I was thinking, shit, he said what I want to say. nearly lost limbs. Couldn't have a hit myself, so I had to get people to do it. I was just completely obsessed up. Nearly lost my leg. Yeah, it got really grimy. But I was still a good mother. I was still a good person. You couldn't tell I was on drugs. I was yellow. I was about 15 stone. And my family came and took my daughter and said, you know, crack on, but you're not doing this to her. So they took my daughter, and I carried on using. It was, for, you know, it was a little bit of a fight there. It was kind of like, how dare you? I'm a great mother. You can't do this. Who do you think you are? They took her, and I just carried on using because I couldn't. One thing about my family is we're rooted in shame and guilt around everything. So what I do impacts them. What they do impacts me. What this one does, I'll take on your feelings, because that's what I do. I suck it up like over. They took her, I carried on using. I really wanted to die, but I didn't have the courage to kill myself. You know, my thing was, you know, die of an overdose, for, you know, so there's no pain. That's what a coward I was. You know, not thinking of my daughter being left without a mother, my mother being left without a daughter, and not thinking of anything, just thinking of myself. You know, after that, I got hijacked by my family, locked in rooms, battered. They killed, you know, they really battered me. But when I finished, you stand up and say, come on in, keep coming. Because I'm going to use and you're not going to stop me. And I'd applied to go into a detox, but never really thought it would ever happen. It was just, you know, just lip service I was giving my family to get them off my back. And then one day I got a call saying there's a bed here. And I was just like, oh my God. I'd also given consent to talk to my sister. Great idea. So I just carried on using. Day of the detox, she comes and gets me and her husband. So out of my head, they carried me into the detox because there was no way I was walking in there. I didn't want to get clean. I didn't know there was a life beyond using. I didn't know a soul who didn't use. I didn't want to know. In fact, my ex-partner used to come to the rooms, still using, but it really bugged me because it got in the way of my using, him bringing me my drugs. So anyway, you know, done the detox. Only heard about this fellowship, the rooms. Went to treatment. And part of the treatment plan was you had to come to meetings. So I came into meetings and straight away, as was said previously, I judged everyone. You know, you don't know. You've never walked in my shoes. You don't understand. You know, and H and I come in and done service, and you know, it was just like, nah, not for me, not for me. But I was doing it because I had to do it to stay in treatment. So what I would do, I would come in very quietly, sit right at the back, not talk to anybody, and dare to put your arms around me at the end after serenity prayer, and I'll kill you. Because if you really knew me and knew where I was from and knew the pain that I not only caused myself, I caused others, you wouldn't like me. You would hate me. So I was terrified, and I was wrapped with shame around that. But what I did see was that people were clean there, and they were being honest and truthful. And they'd learn how to, you know, they'd learn how to live clean. So this was the only place I had to come. So I finished treatment, I come home, and there was two options for me. It was stay in my fear or get to places where people like myself are trying to stay clean. And that was what I did. As much as I hated it, that was what I did. I didn't come in here skipping and, you know, wanting this. I didn't want this. I didn't want what you had. Because I didn't think I had the capability of getting it. So I used to sit in the back, not talk to anybody. The minute the meeting was over, out the door. And just to let you know, I can still do that today. In and out, run. Just to not have that connection with someone. So I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to listen. I was so locked in myself. All I knew was if you didn't have nothing for me, then I didn't want to know. But this wasn't about that. You know, there was people doing service. There was people sharing how they got through and got clean and stayed clean for nothing. So I just used to come. You know, someone who's got a really lot of clean time once said to me, you used to come in, sit in the back, not say a word, have a hood up, but I could hear your heart crying. And that's the truth. Because I was so terrified, I needed to find another way to live. And that's what you told me was on offer here. But I didn't want to do that. I still didn't want to do that. I kept coming. This was the good thing. I kept coming. Didn't use. But I didn't want to get a sponsor. Didn't want to work the steps. Commitment, what was that? Didn't know how to commit. What was a commitment? You know, I later come to know that that was what helped me stay clean, was committing to recovery. So I sat in the back for 18 months, completely insane, completely rooted in fear. And that fear was masked by my anger. So it was like, get away from me. Because I was really afraid to ask for help. Because you would think I was a mug. Because that's what I come from. You know, do not be vulnerable. That is a weakness. So some woman approached me, a woman that I used to use with, and she said to me, cut the shit out. What are you doing here? Knock yourself out and go back out. There's nothing here for you if you're not prepared to do the work. Do you want me to take you through the work? And I was like, please, yes, yes, please. Because it was insane, and I had these voices in my head that just told me that everything I'd done was rubbish. I weren't going to make it. And I was going to eventually use. So I didn't understand a bit of the lingo, any of it whatsoever. Powerless, me being powerless, you're joking. I had control. I'm very controlling. You know, and she was really loving in telling me and showing me that I couldn't use successfully. My experience of using drugs was just painful. And it was a way, it was my solution to myself. I was the problem here. So, you remove the drugs And I had this head that was just crucifying me. So I got to understand the powerlessness. I didn't really have a problem with finding a higher power. Because as I said, I was a Catholic girl. Even though I see today, for me, how punishing Catholicism is. So, you know, that's not for me today. And I, you know, that's my choice. And what I found out in that was that I should be dead. I shouldn't be sitting here. With what I did to myself and the drugs I took, I should be dead. So there was always a loving higher power that had another plan for me. And it was just about getting in touch with that. And how I got in touch with that was by asking you, how did you do this? What did you do? And I ain't gonna say I was restored to sanity, because I weren't. I'm still as nutty as anything. And even, you know, learning the lingo of this program and the work that you have to do on yourself, shine the light, you know, on it, on yourself, and put everything out there and be really vulnerable and be as honest as you could. You know, my fall, there was stuff in that I was taking to my grave. Nobody was knowing that. Because as I said, I was rooted in shame. So to say that meant I was a very bad person. And I looked at that. I looked at, you know, my patterns and behaviours and became responsible for it. And that was really painful to fess up, to face it, to acknowledge it. But I did, because that was what suggested here. Even though I, Julie, didn't want to, I knew it was the only thing that was going to keep me going was to face myself. And what I learned from that was that I'm an addict and I'm going to use, because I can't cope with myself. I can't cope with my head. I can't cope with life. And I look to soothe it. You know, as Rob said, you know, I'd done the amends. You know, my mum, little Irish Catholic woman, said, no, there's no amends needed. You know, it's all right, it's all right. Even though I can't tell you the amount of times she caught me with her hand in her purse. But she didn't want to acknowledge it. And I just had to kind of say to her, I need to let you know that I'm really sorry for that. But it wasn't a sorry, because I'd said sorry many times. There was something different about this. I was really present for it. And my dad, you know, making the amends to my dad was kind of, oh, I know someone who's in recovery. And yeah, I know. No. You know, he was trying to soothe me. Is what he was trying to do. He was trying to soothe me. And you know, the shame and guilt I brought to my dad, the shame I brought to my dad was just too much. It was too much. You know, and I maintain that. I maintain that, that amends. I do amends on a daily basis to my parents. Because I'm lucky enough to be able to do that. You know, again, another gift that I've been given in recovery. And I maintain recovery because I have to watch myself. Because I'm ready to slip if I stop watching myself. You know, I have to come and be in a room, you know. I don't know what my higher power is. But I feel it in these rooms. I feel the love, the truth, the honesty, the warmth. So that's what my higher power is love. What is, you know, I don't look to nail it down to a certain thing. It is what it is, and I don't question it. I just know on myself I should be dead, and I'm not. I have the opportunity to come and sit here and share with you my experience. So, all in this process, I managed to get my daughter back. Things came back very, very quickly. I went away to treatment. My family went in, done my house before I went away ended up to be a crack house. You know, I had 14-year-old kids in there cutting their crack up while my daughter was in the bedroom and I was in the kitchen using crack. I went away to treatment, my family went in there, gutted it out, refurnished it like a new home. You know that plaster that you put over things? They never understood. They wanted to, but they just didn't, and they still don't today. My experience is, I've only been able to stay clean because I do what I need to do here. You know, I attend meetings, I take on commitments, I work the step. I've got a sponsor. I connect with others. That's where it lies for me. I'll tell you about an experience I've had. So this woman who really loved me and I loved her, we fell out. You know, she was sponsoring me for 10 years and we fell out. And I quickly went backwards. Isolated everybody in the rooms. I hated, got very angry, very confused. Program went to shit. The little lies started to come in to myself. But I had one friend who called me out on it. You know, because I trusted this woman so much, the relationship had broke down. That meant everybody would let me down. And this one friend held on to me so tight, she kept pulling me back. And I was excited about her program. You know, she was really excited about it, and I was thinking, I want that, I need that. So in recovery, I've experienced another rock bottom. You know, I learned that my illness manifests itself in other ways. So I stopped doing meetings, I stopped connecting, I stopped praying, meditating. Everything became annoying, including my child, everybody, until I was again isolated, lonely in my house, but not using. So I'd never really done women's meetings, hated women, really did, found them relationships really difficult. So I went to a women's meeting with this friend. And she only put me forward for a commitment. Oh my God. But I can now look at that as that being my saving grace that pulled me in. She also hooked me up with the sponsor I have today. Really different people, but the same sort of using addict. The illness manifests itself in other ways. And I am all about moving forward and challenging myself. Because if I stay in the same place, I become irritable. And using looks like a good option to me. So I've recommitted to the program. Thank you. I've I've recommitted to the program. You know, and the suggestions I have today are really simple. It's meetings, service, gratitude, and steps. It's really, really simple. I don't need to complicate that. She doesn't complicate it, and that's what attracts me. We're really complicated people. I am. But it's really simple what we have to do here. It's just that, you know, for me, the question I ask myself is, am I ready? And I've got so much pride, I like a fight. So yeah, I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep peeling away this stuff because I've got real deep-rooted gear there that's never been touched. So I am excited about peeling that away. You know, as soon as I was in treatment for, I think, 9 months. As soon as I came back, my daughter came back. My daughter is now, will be 19 in a couple of months. She was 7 when I went away. She's going to uni. So, of course, I tell myself, that's all because of me. You know, recovery doesn't only affect me, it affects my family. I could sit here and say, she's an addict. She is what she is, and I have to allow her to find her own journey, if she is. I love her more than life itself. And that's why sometimes it can be so painful being a mother. I found recovery. Her father found recovery. So she has two parents who are in recovery now. It's beautiful. Although she's going to Amsterdam this weekend, which is a little bit concerning for me. But again, that's her choice. That's, you know, win, lose or draw. She's going to face it herself. But she's got a great mother who's got a great experience. So for me, it's really simple. You know, stay in the middle. You know, I still need to be in the middle today. So I still do the basic. 4 meetings a week. I'm not going to lie and say I do my gratitude list all the time. I'd love to say that, but it'd be a lie. But I do it when I need to. Prayer, that's primary for me. I need to have that quiet time, and then I can move forward with my day. So, you know, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. Before I started, I was absolutely shitting myself. I felt like a rabbit caught in a headlight. And I thought I had nothing to give. And I don't know if I have, but I know I sit here clean as a result of this fellowship and what we do. So thank you.
Thank you.